This morning we want to think about the unexpected gift, and this reading is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, this weekend, how many enjoyed Thanksgiving? Wonderful. I did too. It was great. I didn't burn the turkey, so that's always good. And how many took time for the time-honored tradition of shopping on Black Friday? Anyone? How many people couldn't wait till Friday, went out on Thursday? Anyone? All right. And then how many people are going to do Cyber Monday? Any Cyber Monday shoppers out there? Yeah. Some of those. You can do it from your chair. And there's something about looking for a perfect gift, and I guess it's even better when it's at half price, right? So, and we love gifts, don't we? And I was fortunate, I was guarding the Panera table while my mother and my daughter went shopping at the mall for a little while, because it isn't often that my daughter gets to shop with my mother, and so they went out and they did some shopping. Some of it is still in secret, but they came back with an unexpected gift, which is this tie this morning. And it sort of fit with the message, because it was unexpected, it was delightful. And in this time between sort of Thanksgiving and Christmas, I went ahead and wore it this morning, and I'm thankful for that. But you know, when we have a gift that's just perfect and it's unexpected, that makes it even greater. And I'd like to think about an unexpected gift this morning. And that unexpected gift is forgiveness. I'd like to get started with a true story that I think is kind of humorous. I heard about this guy by the name of Dave Hagler, who was a volunteer umpire at a recreational baseball league in Boulder, Colorado. And it was in January, and Dave Hagler was on the interstate. He was going about 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. Well, he looked in his mirror, and all of a sudden he saw the lights flashing. He pulled over, and up walked a police officer. And the police officer said, sir, you're going too fast. And Hagler said to the police officer, listen, officer, I'm sorry. I know I was going too fast, but I never speed. Please don't give me a ticket. I don't want my insurance rates to go up. Please don't give me a ticket. Well, the officer had no mercy and wrote him a ticket, handed it to them. Well, the Colorado winter gave way to the spring, and recreational league started. And so there they were, the first day of the baseball season, and they did the national anthem. Hagler was the umpire behind the plate. And who's the first batter to walk up but that very same police officer? Police officer turned to Hagler, the umpire, and he said, how'd that ticket go? Hagler turned to him and he said, you better swing at everything. Revenge, how sweet, isn't it? It's human nature to want revenge, isn't it? We get hurt when someone does something to us, and it feels good to have revenge. And it's human nature. Now, Peter, to just sort of walk back into this story, Peter asked a question that seems kind of calculated, doesn't it? He comes to Jesus, and it's like he has an agenda. He says, how many times should I forgive? Seven? Now, he probably had someone in mind. Would you agree? And someone he probably thought he'd forgiven plenty, and now was a chance for revenge. But Jesus turns the table and says, not seven times, but seven times 70, or 77 times, depending on the translation, but either a lot of times. And then Jesus goes on to tell this incredible parable, and the parable is this in just summary form. He talks about a ruler, and this man owes this ruler 10,000 talents. Now, in case you don't know what a talent is, a talent is 20 years worth of savings, we believe. So think about 20 years worth of savings multiplied by 10,000. It's a lot of money. So the ruler calls this man in who owes him 10,000 talents and asks to be repaid immediately. Well, the man begs for forgiveness. He says, I don't have the money. He knows in that culture he'll be thrown into prison. His children could be sold as slaves and family. And so he begs for forgiveness. And finally, the ruler says, okay. The debt is completely forgiven. Not half forgiven, but completely forgiven. And so the man goes away. Now that very same man who was forgiven the 10,000 talents goes and finds someone who owes him 100 denarii. Now a denarii is about a day's wages. So we're talking about 100 days wages compared to 10,000 times 20 years. And he demands that he repay him those 100 denarii. And when the person does not pay 100 denarii, he has him thrown in prison. Now the ruler hears about it and calls in this very same person and demands that he pay that debt that he was owed and calls him a wicked servant. And Jesus turns to Peter with that very same look. And it's a story about forgiveness, is it not? In some sense, we think about the image of God who's forgiven us for so much, maybe the 10,000 times 20 years wages. And we who've experienced so much forgiveness so oftentimes do not extend that forgiveness to others. And you think maybe of a moment in your life where you've been wronged and not extended forgiveness. And this morning I want to think about that unexpected gift of forgiveness. And I want to look at it as a gift that blesses three persons. And the first person that it blesses is it's a gift that blesses God. Think about it for a moment. I mean, God is in the forgiveness business, is he not? You look at the story of from the beginning of Genesis on when Adam and Eve first committed the first sin, God goes after them and pursues them. And we think about Moses who killed a man, but God forgave him. And we think about David who had an affair, but God forgave him. We think about Jonah who ran from God's will and went on a fishing trip that went horribly awry, but God forgave him and gave him a second chance. And so God is in the forgiveness business. And we think about Jesus so often who talked about numerous parables in forgiveness, right? We think about this morning, this parable of forgiveness. But no parable is more beautiful than the parable of the prodigal son. You remember the story where the son takes his father's earnings and may have put the farm in jeopardy, the family farm, but he goes away to a far off land and he spends this money on lavish and wrong living. And then when he has nothing, he finally comes back to the father and the father runs out and embraces him and weeps and makes him a son again. Of course, the elder son is not quite so forgiving. But God, this image of God the Father, is one of forgiveness and grace. We think of the woman at the well, sort of the wayward daughter, if you will, and Jesus offers her living water and forgiveness and grace in that moment. And even more startling is when Jesus is around the Last Supper with the disciples, and Judas, who will betray him, is there, and Jesus knows it. Jesus still pours the cup and said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." And even more amazing is when Jesus is on the cross being crucified and Jesus looks down at those who've crucified him and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God is in the forgiveness business, and when we forgive others, we bless God in a powerful way. Philip Yancey, in his book Amazing Grace, talks about this one study from this Cambridge scholar by the name of David Ford. And David Ford went around Europe and he interviewed priests who did the confessional. And so people come in the confessional booth and the priest talks to them and offers them God's forgiveness. And he did a survey of what he thought the biggest problems facing people in that moment were. And he thought maybe, you know, it would be unfaithfulness or maybe it would be people absconding money. And this one priest said, who'd been a priest for 40 years listening to confessional, and he said, "No, the problem is people get God wrong. They walk away from the confessional booth and they never really hear God's words of forgiveness and grace. They have God all wrong." You know, God wants to forgive us. That's why Christ came. When we think about Christmas as we begin that Advent journey very shortly. And when we forgive others, we bless God as well. And so the first one who's blessed by that gift is God. And the second is we bless someone else, don't we? Think maybe for a moment in your life where you've done something wrong. Maybe it was intentional, maybe it was unintentional, but you blew it. You hurt someone's feelings, you did something wrong, and someone extended a word or an act of forgiveness to you. And think about how blessed it was in that moment to get a fresh start, a second chance, maybe even a third chance. And when we do that to other people, we give them a life-changing experience where they're given a second chance in life, and that makes all the difference. In that Lord's Prayer, we pray all this time, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," right? And Barbara Brown Taylor says of that, she says, you know, God's got a lot riding on that semicolon. You know, it doesn't end with "forgive us our debts." It also says "forgive us our debtors." And whether you use trespasses or wrongs or sins or whatever version you use, it's all the same. Forgiveness isn't just a one-way street. Now, when we forgive someone, that doesn't make the wrong right, okay? And I know that forgiving doesn't always mean forgetting. In fact, not usual, right? We're not God. And for most of us, when something has really happened that hurts us or our loved ones, it's difficult to forgive. But in forgiveness does not make the wrong right. It still remains wrong. It offers a step of forgiveness and grace to them. And I know for most of us, it's a journey often and a struggle to find forgiveness. But that journey can make all the difference. One of my favorite Broadway shows, as well as books, is Les Miserables. And you, many of you have seen that show and you know the story, but I want to repeat it because I think it's just a beautiful picture of forgiveness and grace. And so the story goes of Jean Valjean, and he's been thrown into a French prison because he stole a loaf of bread because his family was hungry and in need, and he didn't have any means to buy that. And so he's sentenced unfairly, unjustly, to 20 years in prison. Eventually, he breaks out of prison, and he finds some overnight stay with a priest who's willing to give him some food, offers him to stay overnight. But in the middle of the night, Jean Valjean gets up, and he's stealing the priest's silverware, actual silverware, so they're valuable. Well, the priest hears the noise and goes downstairs. Jean Valjean turns around and sees the priest, grabs one of the silver candlesticks and hits the priest over the head and knocks him out. Jean Valjean flees with the silverware. The next morning, the police find out about it, and they find Jean Valjean, who's a criminal on the run. They bring him back to the priest's house, and they bring him before the priest, and they confront him in front of the priest. And so the priest sees what happened. And he looks at the police, and he looks at Jean Valjean, and he says, no, the silverware was a gift, and he forgot that. And he forgot two more gifts, and so he turns and takes the two candlesticks and hands it to Jean Valjean. And as they're leaving, the priest whispers to Jean Valjean, he says, I've bought your soul for God. As if in that moment, then Jean Valjean, experiencing forgiveness, is compelled to share God's grace with others. And that's really the rest of the story. Jean Valjean goes from person to person and episode to episode, and he spreads the good grace of forgiveness to other people, and other people's lives are changed in a dramatic way. And think about it for a moment. That priest throughout the story is never named. And Jean Valjean, everyone else is. And it's as if the writer is saying, you know, the priest could be any one of us. We could be that priest where we have a moment and we grant God's forgiveness to someone, and we could touch their life in such a life-changing moment that the rest of their life could change forever. Well, you might look at that and say, well, that's just a story. That's a Broadway show. But I want to share a true story, and there's lots of great stories of forgiveness. But one I really like is Pope John Paul II, and you may know him, was hit by four bullets in May of 1981, two large in his intestine, one in his left wrist, one in his right arm, and he had to go into surgery, lost a lot of blood. He never really regained fully, never regained all of his strength. But in July of that year, he wrote a note and publicized it that he offered Ali Ufuka, who was the person who tried to assassinate him, forgiveness, even though Ali Ufuka never asked for forgiveness. He began to correspond with him in prison, and 2 years later, he went to prison personally and met with Ali Ufuka and personally looked in his eyes and told him that he forgave him for that, even though Ali Ufuka never asked for forgiveness. Some years later, it was that he began to correspond and met the family in person. And then in 2000, the Pope went before the Italian president and pleaded that he be pardoned, and Ali Ufuka was pardoned in 2000. In 2005, just before the Pope passed away, the Fuca family wrote a letter and said what a great friend the Pope had been. And when he passed away, they said they mourned sincerely with everyone all over the world for his loss. The Pope didn't have an easy time, no doubt, forgiving Ali Ufuka, who tried to assassinate him. It was probably even a struggle and maybe a journey of forgiveness. But in forgiving him, he changed his life and set example for all of us. All of us have a chance to grant that gift to others, even though it might be a terrible, difficult struggle. So we can bless God, and we can bless someone else, and we can also bless a third person. That's us, ourselves. You think about it for a moment, and sometimes when we haven't forgiven someone, it's as if there's a knot that sort of forms in our stomach and maybe even our hearts and minds. And so if you think about it for a moment, and you tie a knot in a rope, and there it is, and then you tie another knot of unforgiveness in the rope, and then maybe another knot, and what do you have? Lots of knots, right? And it's not useful for much like that, is it? And it's interesting because the word for unforgiveness that's often used in the New Testament is the word for knot. That when we don't have forgiveness, our lives knot up like this. But the word for forgiveness that's often used is one to untie and to release a knot. And so you think about God forgives us, and then we forgive someone, and we forgive someone else, and all of a sudden we have a release of freedom that we didn't have before, and a new usefulness for God and for each other. And so as we struggle with forgiveness, which is not easy, we untie the knots, and God helps us with this. I'm reminded of a true story that I like of a young girl who went through World War II who lived in Belgium, and she was 11 years old and experienced the horrors of the bombing in Belgium. She saw her school destroyed. She saw families killed. She saw her own home bombed out. And after the war was over, she talked to her priest over a length of time, and they decided they needed to do something. And so the priest and her went to this cavern that had been where her home was, and they said a prayer, and the priest asked her to go ahead and say the Lord's Prayer, and so she began saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And then she came to forgive us our debts, as we, and she couldn't go on. And so the priest said, go ahead and try again. And so she tried a second time. She said, forgive us our debts as we, and she couldn't say forgive again. And she tried a third time, and then she tried a fourth time. And finally, as she said it one last time, the priest said in a loud voice behind her, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And she was able to finish it. But isn't that the truth? As we take a step of forgiveness, we often hear the voice of God behind us and God's strength encouraging us to take the next step towards forgiveness in life. And when we do that, then lives are changed in amazing kinds of way. If you think about it for a moment, Jesus came and gave his life on Calvary that we could know forgiveness. He paid the price for our forgiveness and the price for everyone's forgiveness. And in Thanksgiving, we are thankful for that among many other things. And when we come to Christmas, it's a moment when we think about God's greatest gift to us that brought us forgiveness through Christ. And if God has forgiven us, then we ought also to forgive others. But there's one last person that we should forgive too, and I think that's ourselves. How many have maybe out there and you've struggled with forgiving yourself for something that you've done? Maybe it was something that was inadvertent, or maybe it's something you just bad judgment in the moment, in the heat of the moment. But many times we ourselves find ourselves the hardest ones to forgive. But if God has forgiven you, then why won't you take the step and forgive yourself? God wants us to hear his words of forgiveness to us this morning and for us to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. And so in closing, think about that gift in a season where we're between Thanksgiving and Christmas and a lot of shopping going on. It's a gift that blesses God. It's a gift that blesses someone else, and it's a gift that can bless us as well. I close with this story. There's a story about Thomas Edison that's true. And so Edison and his team of engineers worked for 24 hours straight on this light bulb, and they had a lot riding on that light bulb, and so they needed to take it upstairs to plug it in to see if it worked. And so Thomas Edison handed it to this young boy who was his lab assistant and asked him to carry it up the stairs. Well, the boy was very scared of carrying that light bulb. The last thing he wanted to do was to drop that light bulb, but as he went up the stairs, you guessed it, he dropped the light bulb and it broke. And so he had to go back and tell Edison that he broke the light bulb. And so the team, along with Thomas Edison, worked another 24 hours on another light bulb. And when they were ready to test that light bulb, who did he give it to? Thomas Edison took a moment and he gave it to the very same boy who dropped the first one. A great moment of forgiveness, because it could have been a weight that the boy would have carried around the rest of his life. But he was able to feel the forgiveness of Thomas Edison and forgive himself, perhaps, and also to take a step and realize that someone believed in him. You and I know that forgiveness is a difficult thing. It's a struggle. It's a journey. But it's not a journey that we take alone. Jesus Christ has showed us the way, and Jesus Christ has paid the price. And so I challenge us this morning to give an unexpected gift, a gift that God has given us, a gift that we bless God with, a gift that we bless someone else with, and a gift that we also bless ourselves with. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about the Thanksgiving season this Sunday, as we gather around your table this day, we're so thankful for the price that you paid for our forgiveness, that we might have new life, that our Lord and Savior paid on Calvary. And so help us to accept the gift of forgiveness. But Lord, help us not to stop there. Help us to take the next step, and even though it might be difficult, Lord, help us to extend forgiveness to someone else, someone who's wronged us or wronged a loved one. And Lord, help us to find your strength and grace in that moment. Not that it will make the wrong right, but that it will give us a fresh start and someone else a fresh start, Lord. Help it to be a time when your love and your grace is known in the most powerful way. and that we see your love and your great gift in a whole new way. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.